All God's people said, amen. Well, let's talk to the kids. Miss Pam is out on vacation, but I invite you. The children's sermon will go on, so won't you come down front? Because I'm going to have a chance to talk with you for a few minutes here. Come on down, and if we've got any timid kids that want to bring some brave parents with them, you're welcome to come down with them as well. Also, if you're young at heart and you just want a front row seat, you're welcome to come down too. It's good to see you this morning. Where do I sit? Right there? Right there. All right. All right. On these fancy kneeling pads. These are beautiful, aren't they? You know, people did that by hand. Well, how can you tell when someone's in your family? How do you know if someone's in your family? Yeah. By how they know you and how they have relationship with you. Yeah, how else? What are some things that you, what do family members do? What do you do with your family? Nothing? Okay, did anybody go on summer vacation? Yeah, did you go with your family? Yes, okay, so sometimes you do special stuff. How about like more ordinary stuff? Like, does somebody in your family sleep in the same house with you? Yeah? Do any of you have a magic dresser drawers? You know, like clothes just automatically appear in your dresser drawers sometimes. They were dirty, and then they get clean and folded and put back in your dresser drawers? Oh, parents do that. Are parents in your family?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Of course they're in your family. That's pretty fun.
One time I made a costume for my sister.
One time you made a costume for your sister. Sometimes family members do stuff for each other like that. Really fun stuff. I guess sometimes, how many of you have a brother or sister? Sometimes family members annoy us, don't they? You know, they kind of get on our nerves. Have you ever fought with a family member? Like argued? Yeah?
Both of them.
Oh, okay. So sometimes that happens. You haven't ever fought with your family? God bless you. I think there's a throwdown happening right now. It's about to. What happens, what do we do to a family member if someone, does, if we do something wrong to someone and we hurt their feelings or something, what do we do then?
Apologize.
We apologize, yeah?
Say sorry, do something.
And what do we ask them to do for us after we apologize? To forgive us. So sometimes as family members, we forgive one another, I hope. That's a good thing to do, or else we just hold grudges for a long time if we don't do that. Well, do you know, we have the family that we live with, and your answers were totally awesome. We have the family that we live with, right? But then there's a bigger family that God calls us to, God's family. God chose us to be in God's family. And if I am in God's family, and I'm God's son, let's say, and you are God's daughter, what does that mean about us?
Siblings.
We're siblings. That's the best answer ever. And that is awesome, right? Who else, and I'll give you a hint, they're out there. Who else is in God's family with us?
Everybody.
Everybody is in God's family with us.
Universe.
Everyone in the universe and beyond, right? Everyone. Well, that could get hard. That's a big family. Because it's not just the people who are in this place. But I understand there's like Roxborough Baptist Church is up the street, just a couple of doors. They're in our family too, in God's family. And First Baptist Church Roxborough, they're in our family too, right? And we read something this morning, our statement of faith, that came from a country called Korea, where there's people in God's family in Korea, which is all the way on the other side of the world. Like it's dark there right now because the sun's only over here. It can't be both places at once. Like our family's really, really big. And God promises us in the Bible, that in the verses that Mr. Hunt read this morning, God promises us that as members of the family, we get an inheritance. Do you know what an inheritance is? That's something that you get just because you're a member of the family. If someone who's in the family has something to kind of pass down to the kids, well, that's an inheritance. And the inheritance that we have being a part of God's family is awesome. It is really the best thing the greatest thing ever. Who can think of a really good thing that's ever happened to you? Anybody else? Do you have, what's something really good that happened to you?
Candy?
You got some candy. All right. So how about, what's something really good that's happened to you? I don't even want to try and repeat what you just said. What is that? We don't even know. You got a bunch of good stuff, it sounds like, right? So that is just a little, as awesome as that was, it's like a gift that's like this big, almost so small you can't see it. Because God's gift of eternal life and the gift of love that God gives to us, that is ours. And no one can take that away from you. Do you believe that? That's awesome. So let's give God some thanks. Let's say a prayer and thank God for making us a part of God's family. Are you ready? We're going to pray this time. You repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for making us a part of your family. Teach us how to be brothers and sisters with everyone in your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. When you go back to your seat somewhere, before you sit down, try and give a high five to someone else who's in God's family, all right? You think you can do that? Yeah, go do that, because that'll give me some time to get back up. You give me a high five, I'm in your family. Yeah, all right. There you go. That is great. If you love these kids and thank God for them, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that? All your family members just said hallelujah. Kids, if you love these folks and thank God for them, say hallelujah. What? Hallelujah. All right. Hey, so now we kind of shift, and now it's time for the sermon for all God's people. I came across, this has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm about to preach, but I came across it, and I think it'll make us laugh, which might help us listen for God's Spirit. These are hymns. There's an alternate hymn book for old people, people who are over the age of 46. So it seems arbitrary, but there's, yeah. So these are hymns just for people over 46. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. Right? Just a slower walk with thee. Right? Go tell it on the mountain, but speak up. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Right? It's happening. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked the car. The favorite, it's close to one that we're singing today, Blessed Insurance, I think, right? And last, we already sang this, but the other version, It Is Well With My Soul, But My Knees Hurt. Anyway, so again, that has nothing at all to do with what I'm about to preach on, but God bless us this time of fellowship as we can be your family. Together, we pray that you would fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit and that your gospel truth would continue to penetrate our hearts. Hunt read it this morning, and we're so thankful for his witness and for the witness of your word, and we pray that we would come to understand what it says. You know, I'm new here, and that is something that might give you some hope. It might cause others great fear and trepidation, especially after they hear me preach. Our church, this church, it's new to me, but to many of you, it's beloved and it goes back for generations. How many of your families go back generations in this church? There's a bunch of you, right? And you're in my family, and that's the point of this sermon. So in that sense, my family goes back generations too. But my blood relative family doesn't. But I'm coming to learn that this church has been a place that has been with you. You have been a part of this place, of these people, those of you that have been here for a long time, through great times, wonderful times. I imagine when they put these stained glass windows in, that was a wonderful time. I imagine when they paid off the first mortgage or the debt on this building way back when, that was a wonderful time. I imagine that when the pastor let you out before noon once, that was a wonderful time, even if it never, ever happens again. But there have been difficult times as well. This church dates back to 1822. I haven't heard or seen any transcripts, but I imagine when the war between the states or the Civil War or the War of Northern Aggression, whatever you want to call it, when that happened, I imagine there were mothers whose sons signed up to go and fight who were not happy and were just mourning already. I imagine that was difficult times to get the letter that said that that son perished in battle. I imagine that there have been times when you have helped, or maybe you have endured a relationship that ceased to be a good and healthy relationship, and that was a difficult time for you. I just know that's a part of every family of God as we are together. There have been ups and downs. You've been telling me wonderful stories of prospering people, folks who have been blessed with provision or wisdom or education, and you've also been telling me rich stories of difficult times in your life, when your health perhaps has failed, or like I said before, maybe a relationship has ended, or when you weren't sure how you were going to make it. I'll tell you what, specifically, if you want to get a blessing, go and see Miss Catherine O'Brien. Can I get an amen? She is going to be 97 soon. She's 96 wonderful years old. Ask her about her children or about the value of education and watch her just light up as she tells you, almost out of breath, she's telling you with such enthusiasm. How many of you know that to be a blessing, have seen that in her? Say amen. That's a bunch of you, right? That is such a blessing. But at the same time, Miss O'Brien, her eyes don't see like they used to, and her ears don't hear like they used to, and she can't get out much anymore. But she loves her church family. We have been with her as a church through the ups and the downs and the all arounds, and she has such joy and wisdom to share. If you believe that, say amen. 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 Did you know that amen just means I agree? Did you know that's what it means? I agree, so be it. Well, judging from the look on your face, you didn't know that, but now you know that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so amen. Well, that's what I call a great family, a family that can be loved by Miss Catherine O'Brien and a family that can love Miss Catherine O'Brien. And that's just one of many, right? How many of you know someone in this church who has lived a long time and has rich wisdom to share? Anybody? Like three of you. No, come on. I want to see because I want you to know. All right. Good. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. That's what I call a great family. Remember that old children's activity? This is a church. And how does it go? This is the steeple. You open the doors and you see all the people, right? If you've been in this church for a long time, well, there's not as many fingers as there used to be, maybe, right, of the people in church. I wish there were more. You wish there were more. You've told me you wish there were more in this family. And I tell you, God is not out of people to involve in God's church. Do you believe that? Say amen. Now, we got to believe that on faith. We do. And I also believe in the communion of saints, where folks that were here that aren't here any longer because of eternal life, they're up with Jesus now, that somehow their presence is still with us, right? And I also believe when we sit here at the communion rail, when we come and we receive the bread and the wine, that we are connected with the church throughout the world. And God is not done doing things in this world, even things that seem to us to be impossible. Someone said one time that the church is the body of Christ on earth, comprised of people who act as God's hands and feet, voices and ears and eyes in the world. I've heard it said that God provides, but it's the body of Christ that's responsible for sharing. God provides, but it's up to us to share. Well, this church that you have attended or are now attending, or maybe you're a first-time person here, I'm glad to see you here. I hope that you can come to call this place your church home. This place where you have come Sunday after Sunday, this place where for the sake of God you have painted walls or churned homemade ice cream or sang anthems. Thank you, choir, that was beautiful. Bow the knee. What a strong and powerful message. Or hung pictures, or listened to teachers, or stitched kneeling pads at the communion rail, or designed and crafted beautiful chrismons, or laughed during VBSs, or got frustrated and tired during VBSs, or sung during love feasts and chaperoned youth trips, or had arguments over building details. Oh, wait, that was probably from another church. You all have never had arguments over building details, have you? No, but you have, and you've hung together, right? This is the place where you have said goodbye to loved ones and laid them to rest in a meadow over yonder or in the columbarium. This place is God's family, and looking out at you, that's what I call a great family. Amen?
Amen.
Mm. This God this morning, this place is the gathering place of the hands and feet of Christ in the world. This place is the bearer, the vessel, the pronouncer, the proclaimer of God's very word. This word of God proclaims loudly that the God who made everything has found you. It's an amazing thing. I used to study physics before I was a preacher. I studied physics in school and light. How many of you can see light coming in through these beautiful stained glass windows? Anybody? Oh, three of you can. Okay, we're going to work on this over time. But think about that. This light came from the sun, zipped all the way across. It took something like 8 minutes to get here from the sun, came through our atmosphere, got diffused maybe today in the clouds. I don't know if it's a sunny day. Came through the windows and came through, found its way through that window, picked up the red color. That's the only color that made it through and made it into your eyeball. If that light can make that journey and make it into your eyeball, then God can find you. That's nothing. And God has found you. Praise be to God for that. God has found you. God is holding you. And God here, don't listen to anything else that I'm going to say. God will never let you go. You hear that? Especially kids. The world is going to try and tell you that you're nothing, that you're nobody, that you don't count or matter. But listen to me, you are priceless and precious, and God will never let you go. This God this morning declares to us a blessing. A blessing. This good. You know, most of us, well, preschool program aside, congratulations, preschool teachers, because you got recognized in Person County, so we're happy about that. Most of us, we don't get recognized for much very often. Some of us might feel that most of the world has forgotten about us, that we don't matter, but we do matter to God. We were chosen, the Bible says in Ephesians. We were chosen, and that is something. I remember back on the playground when I was in elementary school, I wasn't a very good athlete. And so when it came time for kickball to divide up teams, right, I was not the captain, and I was not the one that got picked. I was the last one on the fence. You know, the last one to get chosen, that didn't feel very good. But God chose you first at the beginning of the world, even before creation. I can just imagine God nudging one of the angels up there saying, "You are not going to believe the magnificence that I am about to create in this person, in this one, in that one." And I'm telling you, it's not because you can see really well or hear really well or being able to run the mile in under 7 or 8 minutes. It's not because of anything like that. It is because God loves you with a love that is incomprehensible. We were handpicked to be adopted by God. It's hard for me to imagine what it would be like not to have parents. My parents, Ron and Margaret Priestaff, they still live in the same house where I was born and raised up. And my aunt lives in the same house where I went every Sunday after church. We'd go over there. Every Thanksgiving, the oven in the basement would be used to cook a great big turkey, right? I remember that. Walking back into that house, if I go back into my hometown, it reminds me that I'm from there, you know? That is something. You know what I'm talking about with that? Have any of you ever gone away from this church for a while and then come back into these walls and you just remember? The smells, you remember the smells, you remember the scenery, you remember the people. You might not remember the name, maybe, if you've been gone a long time, but you remember. That is something, because you belong here. I met a family a few years ago who became very special to me. Their last name is Boyd. They live down by Clayton. They, when I met them, they had 7 children. They now have 10 or 11 or 12. I've lost count. They adopted all of them. They had no children on their own. They adopted all of them from Eastern Europe, and all of those kids had special needs somehow, and all of those kids faced some sort of neglect or abuse in the country where they were originated, and now they get doctor visits, and they get school supplies, and they get a family that loves them, and it's the same really spiritually with us. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. God reached out and called us and said, "You are mine." And that is a beautiful thing. Paul says that we were, who were once far off, are now heirs, adopted sons and daughters. The world tells us we don't matter. There, maybe we're too old, we must retire. Maybe our health or our mind is too frail, we must step aside. Maybe our judgment has slowed, you can't drive. Maybe we're not strong enough, you can't play on that team. The world tells us that. But God says, "You are my son, you are my daughter. I love you, and I will never let you go." An heir is an heir is an heir. It's theirs by blood. When my parents pass on, I'm not sure they're going to have much to pass down, right? But I'm pretty sure I'll be in their will somehow, unless I really mess something up or my brother kind of stages a coup and well, he does that. Always has. But imagine God's inheritance. God says, "Everything I have is yours." In John 15, Jesus calls us friends. Everything, the whole universe, the love of God is guaranteed to us. That's what I call being in a great family. And here's the really important thing. The family that God has put us in, we don't get to decide who is in that family. We don't get to decide who is in that family. Every child of God is in that family. The choice for us is how we are going to learn to get along with our brand new brothers and sisters. That's the hard part. There's a book that I invite you to read along with me. It's called The Anatomy of Peace. The Anatomy of Peace. I want to put together a group. In fact, I want to call together, even today, in your pew, on your bulletin, you've got a little prayer card thing. If you are interested in learning together and walking through and reading this book together, just write your name and write peace and put it in the offering plate, and then I'll include you. We'll figure out how to get up, and we'll put together some groups to read this book. But in that book, this Anatomy of Peace, it talks about how we have decisions to make when we encounter kind of the stranger, and we have a decision. We can either see that person as a human being, or we can see them as an object, as someone who can do something for us, someone that we're better than or worse than, right? And it helps us, that book, better than any other book I've ever seen, helps us get out of those ruts where we see someone. Now, this isn't just like on the scale of world peace. There's an illustration in the book about a man who was making a sandwich, and he dropped a little piece of lettuce on the floor. That's never happened, right? And instead of picking it up, he was in a hurry, so he just kind of kicked it under the cabinet, trusting that his wife would come along later and would keep the kitchen clean. I know that's never happened to anybody in this congregation, and I'm not going to hear any amens probably for that one. But what he was doing, and we do it in restaurants, we do it in many little minute ways, what he was doing was saying, "They'll just take care of this. I don't need to engage them. They'll just pick up after me." And in that moment, his heart of peace and his connection to that person left him, and he assumed that that person would just take care of it. And there's a lot of other examples. We do it with race. We do it with class. We do it with what school you went to. We do it with servers and people in restaurants and things like that. We do it with our very own family. But in God's family, we've got to learn how to see some other people, not just for what they can do for us, but for who they are with us. And so I invite you, we can study that book together. I'm going to leave you with a story this last little bit of the sermon. It was told to me. It's about Aunt Jenny. And Aunt Jenny was sort of the matriarch in her family, and they would have big family reunions all the time. And the family was so big, you never knew who was coming or when. But have anybody ever had a big gathering like that? And she was sort of organizing the dinner and everything when the phone rang. And Aunt Jenny took the phone call, and she started talking, and everyone was gathered around, and they were trying to guess who it was, because she was talking on and on, and, "Oh, tell me about this, and oh, that's terrible," and her voice would rise and fall with the emotions of the conversation, and finally, she kept talking and kept talking. Dinner was even late, and they couldn't believe it. It must be Uncle Tommy. You know, or others said, no, that's got to be Aunt Sally on the phone. And they were starting to place bets for who it was on the phone. And finally, she hung up. And they said, who is that? Who is that? And she said, oh, it's a wrong number. What if we extended that kind of hospitality to the stranger, taking an interest in their lives? What if there's someone here in this church this morning who is giving God one last chance? One more. That's all God gets. That's all the church gets. Oh, to be a church, and I think this is true already, but I just want to drive it on home. Oh, to be a church that when that person gives God one last chance and walks through one of these doors, that we would treat them as the very son, sibling of ours. A son or daughter of God, and it will make all the difference. So no matter your health, your struggle, no matter whether your children visit you or you don't have children, no matter if you're single or divorced, married or estranged, widowed, pleasant, grumpy, laughing, bitter, you are God's heir if you have received this grace in Jesus Christ. May we be the kind of church that will always celebrate. That is a great family, and you belong in it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.